This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and I've been waiting for you, coming to you from my beautiful studio in Moscow, Russia. I'm so thankful for this studio, and that from here, we're taking the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. Amen. And if you're a partner, you're helping us to do that, and I want to say thank you. And if you're not a partner yet, please pray about becoming a part of the partner family. Together, we are doing something very significant as we take the teaching of the Bible to people that are really crying out for it. But today we're going to continue the series, which is called What the Bible Says About Relationships. And today we're going to see what God has to say to husbands. For the last two programs, we've been looking to see what God has to say to wives, but today we're finally going to get around to what He has to say to husbands. But this is a five-part series, comes with a wonderful study guide, and we're offering you now the green version of the RIV, which is Volume 2. The first volume was James and Jude, but this is 1 and 2 Peter. It is the Renner Interpretive Version, the RIV, a parallel study Bible for people of faith. So if you consider yourself to be a person of faith, this is the study Bible you've been waiting for. And my friends, this study Bible was put together for you. It is for your eyes because we want you to be able to take a deep dive into the Scriptures for yourself. And not only are you going to enjoy the RIV, you're going to love the footnotes and all the commentary. But you can order all these things by going online or by calling us. And please remember that we want to pray for you. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, that if we pray anything according to God's will, He hears us. And if He hears us, then we will have the petitions that we request of Him. So when you reach out to us by calling that number on the screen or by sending us an email, we're going to pray scripturally. We're going to pray according to His will. That will open the ears of God to hear us. And God will do exactly what needs to be done. So please reach out to us. My friends, we really want to pray for you. But reach for your Bible. And today we're going to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And just very, very quickly, we're going to review what we've already seen where Peter speaks to women. And then we're going to move on to see what Peter has to say to men. But we have to review very quickly in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, where the King James Version says, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." But in the Greek text, there's a lot of flavor and nuances that are not carried into the King James Version. So the RIV interprets it like this. In the same way servants are instructed to be submitted to their masters, it's also essential for wives to recognize your own husband's authority and to align yourself under it with a respectful and submissive attitude. This is so that if your husband lives in disobedience to the word, he may, because of your attitude, behavior, conduct, and lifestyle, be cleverly won without you ever preaching a single word to him. Being respectful and submissive in your attitude toward him will enable you to win him without ever preaching to him. Then we come to verse 2. And in verse 2, the King James Version tells us something about husbands. It tells us they're watching their wives, and that is the truth. Listen to what it says. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." But the RIV says, "For your husband has certainly been paying attention to and thoughtfully observing your respectful and pure way of living." And it is the truth. Husbands really notice what their wives do, how they react, when they have a good attitude. Husbands really notice that. And Peter is saying to women, your husbands are paying attention. Then we come to verse 3, And in the King James Version, it says, who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning or plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. But the RIV interprets it like this. You must not let your focus only be on what you do with your external appearance, like spending an inordinate amount of time braiding your hair, garnishing yourself with gold or other expensive jewelry, or putting on luxurious clothing. And then the King James Version continues in verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And the RIV gives it to us like this. Instead of focusing solely on external features, make it your aim to let your primary focus be the hidden man of the heart, that is, your inner self, that inner part of you that does not suffer the effects of wear, tear, and age, and is indestructible, immortal, and timeless. Know that in God's view, women that are forbearing, patient, slow to respond to anger, who remain in control of themselves even in the face of insults or injuries, and who have the remarkable ability to remain calm and steady in the face of unpleasant situations. Women with this kind of spirit is cherished, esteemed, respected, treasured, valued, and deemed of great worth by God. Wow, that is just amazing. So there's a lot of instruction to women in those verses. But finally, we get to verse 7, and we have one verse to men. Now, you might say, well, that's not fair. 6 verses to women and 1 verse to men. Well, it really shows the power of a wife in the home. Women have such power. They can build up their house. They can tear down their house. And they are so powerful and so influential that Peter addresses 6 verses to women. Then he speaks very strong to men in verse 7. What does he say? Well, in the King James Version, it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That verse is absolutely power-packed. Now, Peter may have devoted 6 verses to women, but in this one verse to men, he really says a lot. This is very strong instruction. And the RIV interprets it like this. And by the way, husbands, just as I've spoken to wives, I have some things to say to you as well. It is important that you husbands do more than merely share space in a house with your wives. They need you to share your life with them. Do all you can to gain firsthand helpful knowledge about your wives, how they think, what helps them or doesn't help them, and live with them under the influence of the valuable information you've learned about them. And husbands, don't expect them to be as physically strong as you are, but instead, you need to treat them as those who live in physically weaker vessels. And make it your personal rule to always give intentional, preferential, honorable treatment to your wives. Treat them as they actually are, joint heirs and equal inheritors with you of a life that is to be blessed, favored, and marked by grace. Living this way with your respective wife will have the clear result of your prayers together not being disrupted or hindered, leaving you feeling as if you've hit an impasse in prayer that you can't break through. And I told you there's a lot in that verse. I mean, there is a lot. But let's take a deep dive to see why the RIV interprets verse 7 in this way. So let's go back there again to the beginning of the RIV in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, where Peter says, and by the way, husbands, just as I've spoken to the wives, I have some things to say to you as well. And in footnote number 548, we read, just as well is a translation of the word homoios, which means equally, likewise, in like fashion, similarly, in the same manner. And it indicates that Peter, after addressing Christian wives, intended to likewise give a strong instruction to believing husbands. And here is the instruction. It is important that you husbands do more than merely share space in a house with your wives. They need you to share your life with them. You know, one of the meanest tricks that a man can play on his new bride is before they get married, they date, they spend time, they talk, they go out for coffee, they talk on the phone, they're together, then they get married, and suddenly the bride is living at home by herself because he's gone, he's busy, or when he does come home, he just plops in the chair and watches TV, and she wonders, where is Prince Charming? I thought that I was marrying a man that was going to share life with me. But in fact, they're sharing the same space in the house, but they've ceased to share life together. And this is a problem with men. Men tend to do this. And so Peter, who's been married more than 50 years, is speaking to men, and he's identifying what men need to do. And the RIV says it's important that husbands do not merely share space in a house with your wives. You need to share your life with them. And the reason it is interpreted like that is explained in footnote 549, and this footnote is so powerful. Listen to this. The words, do more than merely share space in a house with your wives, they need you to share your life with them, are an interpretation of a form of the Greek word soon oikeo, which is a compound of the word soon and the word oikeo. The word soon means together with, and the word oikeo is a form of the word oikos. It means a house or to dwell in a particular place of residence. But when you put these two words together, it means not only to live together in a house or a residence, but to share a life together in that place. Peter thereby urged husbands not to merely share space with their wives, but to share their lives with them. And my friend, that's what your wife wants. She wants more than your physical presence. She wants to hear what you have to say. She wants you to listen to what she has to say. She wants to share life with you, not just space with you. And Peter, a wise husband, says that to the husband. So here it is again. And by the way, husbands, just as I've spoken to wives, I have some things to say to you as well. It is important that you husbands do more than merely share space in a house with your wives. They need you to share your life with them. And then the RIV continues, and of course, this is an interpretation of the Greek text. Do all you can to gain firsthand helpful knowledge about your wives. Why in the world is it interpreted in that way? Well, that is explained in footnote number 550, which says the words, firsthand helpful knowledge are interpreted from a form of the Greek word ginoskos, a word that depicts knowledge that is applicable. It's gleaned from one's firsthand experience. And in this inspired discourse, Peter stated that husbands must do their part to learn as much as possible about their wives. By doing homework and studying as many aspects as possible concerning their wives, they can gain personal insights and functional knowledge to help them be a blessing to their wives and share life with them more effectively. You know, I've been married to Denise a long, long time. What a blessing. I'm still studying Denise, and I'm still learning things about Denise. She is the most important relationship in my life. So it's important to me that I know what blesses her, that I know what does not bless her, that I know what helps her, that I know what does not help her, that I gain firsthand personal knowledge about her. And Peter goes on to say how they think, what helps them or doesn't help them, and live with them under the influence of that valuable information. And the reason it is interpreted, live with them under the influence, is explained in footnote number 551. Do you see how powerful the RIV is in all this commentary? Listen to footnote number 551. The words under the influence are a translation of the preposition kata, this Greek word, which can be translated according to. But the word kata here importantly carries a sense of that which is dominating or influential. The use of this word at this juncture should be taken as Peter's admonishment to husbands to gain specific insight about their own wives, which may include what they think, what they feel, or what helps them or hinders them. And once husbands have learned such insight, they're to live without helpful insight and allow it to influence how they live with their wives. A smart husband will study his wife, and he will live with the knowledge that he has gleaned. What helps her, what he should say, what he should not say, what is helpful, what is not helpful. And now Peter says this to all the husbands. He says, gain firsthand helpful knowledge about your wives, how they think, what helps them or doesn't help them, and live with them under the influence of the valuable information you've learned about them. And then he continues. Now, I'm continuing from the Greek text. We're reading RIV. And husbands, don't expect them to be as physically strong as you are. Instead, you need to treat them as those who live in physically weaker vessels. Now, we live in a day today where some people think this is rude and this is a denigrating statement about women, but it is not at all. Peter is actually being very honorable of women. And in fact, the words physically weaker are translated from the Greek word asthenes, which can refer to that which is weak. But in this verse, it's used in connection with the word vessels, the Greek word skaos. Now listen to this. The Greek word skaos describes a physical vessel or some type of tent that one temporarily lives in. And because of its connection to skaos in this verse, we know Peter was referring to a woman's physical body, where she lives. Many women, now here's the truth, listen to this. Many women are mentally and spiritually stronger than men. But in this verse, Peter was not referring to women's mental acuity or spiritual strength. He was simply stating that the female physical frame is weaker. It is less strong in terms of strength compared to the male frame. Thus, this verse refers to the woman's physical condition, not to her mental acuity or her spiritual strength. And in this verse, Peter is telling us that men need to understand that women physically are less strong than men. Wow, this is so powerful. We need to understand that there's some things we ought to be picking up for our wives. We should not expect her to pick them up. We should honor her enough to say, honey, let me do that for you. And then he goes on and calls her a vessel. And the word vessel, again, the Greek word skaos, which is described in footnote number 554, this word can picture a physical container, a vessel, or a utensil. It was used to depict agricultural instruments. It could describe baggage. It could describe equipment of various kinds, utensils used in kitchens, vases used in worship, or even elegant articles of gold and silver that were put on public display. It was also used to depict a tent where one temporarily resided while traveling. And this word is used in the New Testament as an analogy for the human body. But here we find that all of our bodies, whether we're men or whether they are women, we are living in this tent. This is temporary. It is the instrument that God has given us. But just like some instruments are made of gold and silver and are highly valued, we need to value the bodies that God has given us. And that's why Peter goes on to say, and make it your personal rule to always give intentional, preferential, honorable treatment to your wives. That's pretty powerful. And it's explained in footnote number 556, which says, the words intentional, preferential, honorable treatment are derived from the word time, a word that describes something so significant that one must affix honor to it. It is thus to be cherished. It is to be esteemed, held as dear, precious, prized, reverenced, treasured, and valued. Men, you are to treasure your wife. According to the RIV, you're to give her intentional, preferential, honorable treatment. You're not to make jokes about her in front of others, but you're to honor her in front of others. In fact, the RIV goes on to say, treat them as they actually are, joint heirs and equal inheritors with you of a life that is to be blessed, favored, and marked by grace. My friend, she is not subservient to you. She is not less to you than you. This verse says she is a joint heir and an equal inheritor with you. That's God's plan. A joint heir and an equal inheritor with you of a life that is to be blessed, favored, and marked by grace. And the reason the RIV interprets it like that is explained in footnote number 559, which says, a life that is to be blessed, favored, and marked by grace are a translation of the word keratos,
which is a form of the Greek word charis, which is the word for grace. Also in the text, you have the word zoes, which is the word for life. But when you put these words together, it pictures a life that is supernaturally blessed or favored, a life that is graced, a life that is absolutely marked by the grace of God, as opposed to a life that is unblessed, unfavored, or unhappy. And regardless of one's previous status in life or marriage, the divine grace of God has the ability to overpower a marital relationship and to turn it into what it should be. The grace of God always empowers you to be what you don't know how to be by yourself. And here we find that when you and your wife are treating each other right, and you're living as joint heirs and co-inheritors of a life that is blessed, favored, and marked by grace, your life is going to be better. And that's why the verse goes on to say, living this way with your wife will have the clear result of your prayers together not being disrupted or hindered, leaving you feeling as if you hit an impasse in prayer that you can't break through. And here in Greek, you have the Greek word agkapta, which means to hit an impasse, which means when there is a disruption or disunity in marriage, a husband and wife lose their prayer power. They lose it. But when they're united and when they're doing what they should do, suddenly they are reunited, they can get through any impasse and have great power in prayer. Now, that is a lot of instruction in one verse to husbands. But I'm out of time. I'll be back in just a moment, and I'm going to pray for you.
This is Rick Renner, and somebody has asked the question, what does the Bible say about depression or mental struggle? And let me give you a verse that I find to be so helpful. In 2 Corinthians 10, and verse 4, Paul writes, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination. Sometimes the devil really goes to work in our minds and in our emotions, and he tries to dominate us with our feelings and with our moods. And sometimes depression becomes very severe. But according to the scripture, God has given us spiritual weapons that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds and the pulling down of imaginations. And you have within you everything you need to take authority over those thoughts and over those emotions and to cast them down. And today I encourage you by faith to say, I am not going to be dominated by depression and oppression any longer.
Starting this week, you can order all Renner products for 25% off. Take advantage of our cyber sale and stock up on powerful teaching resources this holiday season. It's the perfect time to invest in your spiritual growth or bless someone you love. Do you treat people the way God desires? In this new five-part series, What the Bible Says About Relationships, Rick Renner uses scripture to show how spiritual maturity is expressed in your treatment of others, from your spouse to your leaders. Whether you're married or single, this series will give you practical insight for cultivating respect, compassion, and godly behavior. Available in digital or physical formats, starting at just $11, this teaching will help you walk in honor and humility in every relationship. In addition to this series, you can order Rick's book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, a parallel study Bible derived from the original Greek text. Don't miss these special offers, all at 25% off during our cyber sale. The bundle of the series, What the Bible Says About Relationships, starting at just $11, and the book, The RIV of 1st and 2nd Peter, for $38. Call the number on your screen now or go online to renner.org to order. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and today I'm in the Tulsa office. And this is the conference room or the boardroom. This room is used all the time for strategic planning for the gospel and for the teaching of the Bible, which we're taking around the world. And all around this room, we have scriptures about wise counselor and wise planning. Of course, we have the Great Commission on the screen behind us. And we even have photographs of all the board of directors of Rick Renner Ministries, who are real board of directors and regularly provide us with the most wonderful godly counsel and advice. But right now, we're in the process of paying off this facility in Tulsa. And guess what? We've already paid off 81% of the whole project. And that is just amazing. If you consider how long we've been doing this, it's really not that long. But because of the grace of God and because of people like you, we are really making significant progress. And when we're finished paying off the debt on this building, it's going to release all these finances to help us take the teaching of the Bible further to the ends of the earth. So if you want to become a part of the giving team, we welcome you. And together we're going to remove this debt and release finances to go further in taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth. Well, today we have seen what Peter had to say to husbands. And though he only addressed husbands in one verse, in 1 Peter chapter 3, he packed a lot into that verse. But my friends, you need to get the entire series, which is called What the Bible Says About Relationships. And this series covers a wide gamut of relationships in life. And we're not finished yet. When we come back in the next episode, we're going to continue. But this also comes with a study guide. And we're offering you now the green volume of the RIV, that's volume number 2, and it is 1 and 2 Peter. It is a parallel study Bible for people of faith. So if you consider yourself to be a person of faith, you need this. It will feed your heart and it will cause you to exponentially grow in the Lord. But you can order all these things by going online, or you can just give us a call right now. And please always let us know how to pray for you. And I want to pray for you right now. Father, I pray right now for every husband listening to me. And Father, I pray that you give to us husbands the wisdom about how to live correctly with our wives, that we do more than share space, that we share our lives with them. Help us to learn what blesses them, what doesn't bless with them, and help us, Lord, to live under the influence of that knowledge and to be the best we can and to treat them as the special treasure they are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you in the next program, but remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life.